Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I am Lamar with 5280 Esports, and this is the Behind the Games podcast show. Thank you guys for listening. I'm here today with a special guest. We have Anthony Castro, who goes by Castro Do Games. He is actually the esports coach here in Colorado at North High School in Denver. Thank you, Anthony, so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So for all of our listeners, why don't we give them a short little intro, kind of a little background of who you are, kind of what you do, just to get an idea of a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Like he said, I am Anthony Castro, a.k.a. Castro Do Games. I am one of the coaches at North High School. Just a gamer ever since I was probably, five, 6 years old. Been doing it ever since. Love it. If I could do it for a living, I would. Work with my family at a Mexican restaurant. I do that part-time, full-time. I guess full-time since I'm doing this half the time. What else? I don't know. Not really good with talking about myself, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, that's awesome because I've never had we haven't had an esports coach on here yet for high school, which is great. I'm super excited to have you on. Mm-hmm. I guess growing up, did you always grow up here in Colorado?
Yes.
And you've obviously been a gamer. So I guess maybe give us a little bit of backstory of how you got to maybe your interest and then how you got into the position that you're at now.
Okay. So I want to blame my uncles because they had all like the consoles growing up. So I was always at my grandma's house where they live, PlayStation, Nintendo, all the Nintendos, Sega, Genesis, and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Playing Madden. Gosh, I don't know what Madden it was. Maybe Madden 92. Started with that. Street Fighter, Tekken, some of the racing games. I started with Call of Duty back in 2009. I believe it was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. After that, I just fell into the whole line of it and play that now with Fortnite and everything else. The way I got my coaching job was, I think I was watching a YouTube video and an ad popped up to sportsmanagementworldwide.com. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up because I was thinking of doing soccer because they had soccer, but they had the business of esports. So I got my certificate in that. Then after I was done, it was only like an 8-week course or something like that, maybe a 6-week. After that, I contacted some high schools. Some of them replied. Some of them didn't. So I went with my first choice, and they're like, yeah, let's meet up. I met up with them, talked to two of the coaches, and they fell in love with me, and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow, so you were able to, you said, like, kind of intern there? Or, like, how'd you get connected with them?
I emailed the athletic director. Then he sent my email to Jeremy, which is the head coach of it and the one that helped started it. Mm-hmm. And we just went for like a lunch, talked, and yeah, I'm still there. This is my second year doing it.
Wow. So it was it like a new program, a brand new program that they had, and you just kind of reached out to them?
Yes and no. So he started it with another guy that was working with him. He's an IT guy too. So they both were ITs. They started it. The other guy left, then COVID hit, so he couldn't really do, you know, esports. Mm-hmm. Then 2020, 2021, when school was back in session, I contacted him. Then, yeah, we've just been doing it for 2 years. went to playoffs both years. And the district has a tournament that they're going to be doing twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
One fall, one spring. And we won the fall season for Mario Kart.
Cool. I think with Colorado, right, esports just became part of the CHASA curriculum. Is that right?
Back in 2019, yes.
Okay, so it's pretty fresh. It's still new. So are a lot of schools in the Colorado kind of building out their esports department, or is it still taking some time?
It's taking some time because some kids want to play certain titles that are not CHASA related.
Mm-hmm.
So we follow Play Versus. I'm not sure if you know too much about Play Versus.
Is that like a platform?
Yeah.
So okay.
It's an online platform that we follow. They have 9 titles. They just added Valorant 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But some schools are not going to allow it because it's a rated M. Mm. So it's hit and miss with some schools. I think there's about, I want to say close to 100 and something schools that are in CHASA,
mm-hmm.
especially with the Cherry Creek. They have one of the biggest programs in Colorado right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have over 115 students.
Wow.
Yeah. And we only have like 15 to 20 students right now.
Well, it's growing. It's going to take time. Like I've been talking to some schools and they don't even have their departments set up yet. But I guess, you know, for people listening, if they wanted to get involved, I'm assuming they keep an eye on when the school is going to start getting that department kind of built up and then reach out and start maybe networking or getting involved and then hopefully have a position available.
Yeah. So right now, I don't think there's any coaches that are getting paid because CHASA doesn't, they don't consider it as a sport, like an official sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's an activity for them. So like cheerleading, debate, chess, all that's activity. And we're trying to do it where it's kind of a sport, but an activity at the same time. If you could do both, I'm not sure if CHASA can, and have all the coaches get paid.
Okay, so right now it's kind of like a volunteer then.
Yeah, so there's no funding for it. All the stuff that, you know, people have is either a small funding from the school itself or the coaches pay out of pocket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Anthony, if you want to just back up team, because when you get close now, it's a little too loud. There we go. That's
good. Thing.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you're good.
Or it's more like when you get loud, it like pops. But anyway, so that's a great thing because I was looking and high school is different than collegiate getting into, yes. I feel like. And high school is now starting to get established, I hope, or at least what it sounds like.
I hope too, yes.
Yeah. And so if people wanted to, like, let's say kids in school, they don't have an esports department. They don't have anything coming up, esports club. Mm-hmm. How would you advise them going about getting something set up?
Find your favorite teacher and ask them. Mm. A lot of them will just do video game clubs, and that could turn into esports. Talk to your principal, any of your principals, the athletic director, or somebody high up that could help you with it.
Mm. So you just kind of reach out to someone and see if you can start a club. And then from there, if you can build the community, then they can start looking into maybe getting that into like staffing and into a program.
Yes.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that's I never knew that because me growing up, we had the traditional clubs, but there was no esports or anything tech related.
Yeah, because I went to Arvada High School in Arvada and pretty much a block away, there was a cyber cafe. So mm-hmm. that had all bunch of computers and we would go sometimes after school if we had money, you know.
Yeah. For all the younger people listening, LAN centers were, man, those are fun. You'd go to this like cafe with like 100 PCs or something. You go pay a fee and then they had all these preloaded games and you would just play for hours.
Yeah.
I did that when I was younger when I didn't have a PC.
Yeah, I did that too. I had only PlayStation growing up, so it was so fun.
So as someone as an esports coach, what is your kind of day-to-day look like? What does your schedule look like? How do you, you know, fit that into your life? What does something like that look like?
So there's really no like day-to-day schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly after school. So I'm not working at the school because mm-hmm. I work with my family at a Mexican restaurant. So mm-hmm. when I'm over there, for lunch, they could go in, practice for a little bit, or just play and have fun. Then after school, usually school's out at like 3:30. The study's on Tuesdays. Tuesdays, they get let out at 1. Mm-hmm. So it's usually for about 2 hours. Tuesday is a little bit longer because, you know, they get out earlier. So we just practice. We could practice online, practice with each other, do like tournaments inside, and just, you know, just try to have fun. That's what me and my other coach are trying to do. Just have the kids, sit down with them, talk to them, have fun with them, practice, answer any questions that they have.
So just, do you have to like build out a curriculum, like a, like, you know, someone like say for a football or basketball coach where they have kind of like a game plan on whether it's practice, game day, tournaments? Do you have to have some sort of like plan or curriculum or practice or something scheduled out?
Kind of. It's kind of a little hard to, because a lot of students just want to get in and play.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we have a plan, sometimes we'll follow it for like 10, 15 minutes. Then we're just like, all right, you know, screw it. Just go have fun.
just play and it'll be practice.
Yeah. So right now it's our off season. Our regular season doesn't start till February 6th. I think that's a Tuesday. But yeah, we just go online, we go to Play Versus, and they give us our schedule for that week, who we're playing against. Usually for like Smash Brothers and Smash Brothers only on Wednesdays. Thursdays is Rocket League and Mario Kart. So those are the three games that we have so far.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have Play Versus get Fortnite, because we have a lot of students trying to get Fortnite. We tell them, if you want to come in and play, that's fine, but we can't have like tournaments just yet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So how many games do you guys have that you compete in then?
We try to do Splatoon during the winter or in the fall. That didn't work out. We try to do Overwatch. That didn't work out as well. League of Legends fell out. We had one Mario Kart team. We had four Smash Brothers, but one of them couldn't play, so we had to get rid of one of the teams. And we had Rocket League.
And so do you... did they fall out because you didn't have enough players or because there was no events?
The student couldn't go. So it wasn't fair to the other two that were in that same team. But they joined... they were on the bench for the other Smash, but they also joined Mario Kart.
So then when... like, who puts, I guess, the teams together, or and how do you figure out people to join? Like, you know, do they have tryouts? Do you guys... how do you guys assemble your teams? How do you set up team like coaches and stuff?
So for Smash Brothers, because we have so many of them, we did tryouts. Then we did a in-game or in-house tournament to see who's on A team, B team, C team, and D team. So the top players were on A team and so on.
Oh, okay. So kind of like a traditional sports team where you have like varsity, JV and stuff and C team. Okay, cool. So I guess, do you have, is it all ages, like, you know, freshman all the way up to senior, or is there a minimum age?
No, all grades.
Okay. And
all grades, and they have to sign, they have to take a permission slip home, and both parents or one parent and student has to sign it.
Okay.
So they can, so the parents can know what they're doing after school. So like they won't be calling them or calling the school and trying to figure out where they're at.
Okay. So how does it, with you being in a, you know, position where you're involved into at least the high school level, how does your outlook, what is your outlook on the esports community in Colorado and, you know, maybe nationwide or at least in the high school level and coming up from there?
Honestly, I think Colorado could do better. Because it seems like there's a little communication between CHASA and the school administration and the coaches. So if all of us get together in one room, talk about it, and we're all in the same place, I think Colorado could go far. Nationwide, I think there's, I think Atlanta, New York, I want to say California, someone on the East Coast, maybe Seattle. They're doing it well. Whatever they're doing, they're, you know, they're top notch right now.
What is it that, if you don't know what they're doing, why are they doing, why do you think they're doing better?
I think there's,
or what is it that they're doing?
I think the state or the city is talking to all the schools, asking them what they want to do, how they want to do it, and if they need any, like any backing, like money or more coaching or, you know, stuff like that. Colorado seems like, oh, it's just esports. It's going to fall off in like another year or two. So not too worried about it. And if it does fall off, sweep it under the rug.
So the schools are getting support from the city and from public funding and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And Colorado here, yeah, I kind of feel the same way where they brush off. They don't really take it as seriously. They don't see that it could be an extracurricular that can really help the students.
Yeah, of course. And like with most of the shooting games, like, you know, Call of Duty, Fortnite, Overwatch, Valorant, I think Colorado's trying to push that off because it's Colorado. And we had so many school shootings and what's that one? The movie theater one?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Colorado's still scared of stuff like that.
Hmm. Because that's what I've noticed. Yeah, continue.
Oh, because you know how there was a study, I think 90s, early 2000s, that if you play video games, it's going to rot in your brain and it's going to turn to violence and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study, and I could show you the article later, that shooting games does not affect your brain or do mass shootings. So there's no study behind that. It's mm-hmm. the same thing with like when they try to do with Elvis. Oh, his music is bad. Don't listen to him. You're going to fall into depression or whatever. No, it's not going to happen. It's just the upper heads saying stuff like that. So the parents could just worried about it.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy out for people to blame.
Yeah.
And they're big stigma, I think. And
yeah.
I think with it entering the curriculum, do you feel like it will help the stigma or at least like help not regulate it, but help structure it where it does become a benefit to the players like a sport does, right? You know, with the team building, coaching, development, all of those different aspects of a traditional sport.
I think if you get the right people behind it, it'll benefit every school and every student. Because mm-hmm. I have a student right now that broke his knee or something of his leg, and he couldn't play, so he joined esports. And he's having a time of his life right now. Mm. I have another student that, you know, were in their shell and just before winter break, just broke out of her shell and just, you know, having fun. That's what esports is all about. You just going and having fun. There's no fighting. Yeah, there might be some arguments here and there, but it's all about, you know, making friends, having fun, and just building a legacy.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of events, I mean, do you guys host events at your school, within your school? And then do you host like events outside, like for community?
No, not yet. So when we play, it's all online. It's all in school. But when we go down to the finals, the local host host it and we go there. We host the district-wide esports tournament. And what was it? It was North, Mount Ballo, CEC. It's an early community college. And TJ, Thomas Jefferson, was there. Oh, and the other three, I think it was five. I might be missing one. I can't remember. So the other schools are not in Play Versus yet. They wanted to be. So they just came out and just, you know, did a tournament, had fun, and like, okay, yeah, we're going to, you know, make this into an esport instead of just a club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So, and you guys, I think I may have seen you guys at Localhost. That was this year, or I guess last year, right?
Yeah. My school wasn't there, but there was a bunch of other schools that were there.
Yeah, we checked it. We went there, and that was such a fun event.
Yeah.
So did you guys go or did you attend that esports coaching training? I think there was.
Oh, in Aurora. I can't remember the name of
it. Yeah, I think she was in Aurora.
Yeah, me and my coach did.
Okay. So what was that like? You know, what is, you know, for people wanting to get into like the coaching side or the staff side, how is that, how does that, your experience with management and schools and the support?
It went well, but so they had a representative from Chassa, and I forgot his name, and a representative from Play Versus. And so we broke off to Play Versus. It seemed like just the roof blew off and everybody was attacking that person from Play Versus, saying that this is bad, we need to change this and we need to change that. But when we were all in a group, it went well. So everybody was friendly, everybody was talking how to better the sport and what else do we need to do. So I think it was more beneficial than non. But I know there's, I think there's another one that's going to come up soon. And hopefully that one comes out better than the last one.
Yeah. Well, I think it just takes a little more events for everyone to get
involved. Yeah, and it is especially like the first one because we just got out of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So if COVID wasn't around, then it would have been 2019 was like the official start instead of like what, a year and a half ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. So how are you guys? Like, do you see any sort of like pipeline that you guys are setting up or high schools are setting up for the younger kids coming in, you know, from middle school and elementary school? Or is there any expansion into the middle school and elementary school?
So to my knowledge, esports? There is no pipeline. I want to have middle schools with esports or even a game club.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, you know, pursue it into high school and to colleges. We are in talks with CSU. So we know some of them. And one of the players at CSU, he's a League of Legends player. He graduated from North. So it was easier for him to come down and talk to the students. And he even says, like, they don't even have a space for themselves to practice or even do the tournaments. Most of them are doing out of, like, the library or their dorm rooms.
Wow.
And even the high schools, they don't even have, like, their own little room.
So, they don't have a dedicated space?
They don't.
So with you being in new territory then, right? New departments, new curriculum, new into the schools. What are some of the challenges that you've run into trying to build the program up?
Finding students, talking to admin on certain things that we want to do, finding a room inside the school, and I think just finding the students is probably one of the biggest ones.
So like the students know you have it, right? They know you have the program. It's just they don't – what is the challenge? Is it that they don't want
– Yeah, so we print out flyers, and we spent, I think, 30 minutes to an hour walking around the whole school posting flyers and talking to some of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when, you know, when you talk to somebody that age and you say, oh, I play video games, they look at you like, you play video games still?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go outside and like kick the ball or throw the ball around, go play some hoops or something? So there's still that stigma that they're trying not to say, oh, I play video games at school, on the team, it's competitive. I think that's one of the biggest things that students are afraid of.
They're afraid of, yeah, maybe being singled out as like a nerd or something, right?
Yeah. You know how it was back in the day. Oh, you
yeah, really high school's rough.
Yeah. I was afraid going in back to high school.
I mean, it's gained a lot of, I mean, in the since COVID, but
yeah.
Gaming and esports has shifted so much, I feel like, in the past however many years to where it's almost mainstream now, right? Yeah. You look at like anime and different nerd cultures and they've grown so much since when I was in high school, where that was weird. You would be a weirdo if you were express any interest in that.
Right.
So
I don't know when you graduated, but I graduated in 2005 and it was super weird to talk stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like Dragon Ball Z still and whatever else was popular at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, same thing. And it's like, it's great to see that needle being moved, keep progressing and for hopefully people to be confident and wanting to compete. I mean, do you guys, like what successes then do you guys see from when you've started till now?
Getting more students. So with the football player that broke his knee, he had, was it, I think three or four other friends that came with them. So if you have friends that are in the same space and they want to join, they're just going to join because, you know, why not? Why not play video games at school without getting yelled at by your parents?
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think with winning the tournament from the district, that email was sent out to, I think, parents as well with staff members. So with other staff members seeing that, they'd be like, okay, why can't we do that if they did that? Parents would be like, okay, that's cool. You always play video games here at home. Why not try out?
Yeah. So that's a shout out to all the students listening and all the younger people. Don't be afraid. Go and go talk to someone so you can start your e-clubs or your esports club. Because I totally would have if that opportunity was there back then.
Right. I would too.
And I'm sure, you know, to be the head of that would be fun even as a student, you know. Because the gaming culture is just, like I said, it's blown up since then.
Yeah, because we're in the Wild West right now, so we don't know what to do. We're just, you know, throwing a dart in the dark and seeing if it lands in the middle. Hopefully we can. Hopefully, you know, something comes about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you, is there preparation going through your program for them? Because I feel like collegiate has shown a lot more support than maybe the high school level.
Yeah.
But is there any sort of pipeline from your program, like let's say programs like you're in, up into collegiate?
Not that I know of, but if you know somebody in a certain college, like we do in CSU, in Metro, if you know them, just, you know, talk to their players or talk to their coaches, staff members, and see what you need to do to send your kids to that school. Because in Colorado, there is no colleges or universities that have scholarships. What was the biggest one? There is a website called staypluggedin.com or .gg. If you're a student, you could sign up and post whatever video game you you play, and you get scouted from certain amount of universities in college. Boise is one of the good ones, and University of Southern California, I forgot which one it was in California. Those two are one of the biggest ones in the nation right now for that stuff. And they have at least, I think it's, I don't remember the number, but there is over $22 million in scholarships for esports right now.
Wow. Yeah. So those are some of the main schools that you would suggest kids go look at if they want to get scholarships for esports?
Yeah, because Northern Colorado in Greeley, they had an esports program, and last year they, for whatever reason, they just let it go. So there's no esports program up there anymore. Boulder, CSU, CSU, Metro, and I think and Air Force has them. So all the branches, all six branches of the military, they have their own esports as well.
That's right. I've seen, I think the Navy was at, when, at Locos, they have an event there or something. And that's a good one. Yeah, that all the branches have them. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that too. And I looked up some and like, oh, all branches of the military.
Yeah, so people who are in any of those branches, they can go and get on the team, or at least apply to be on the team. So I mean, what is it like? I guess the challenge, right, is that I'm trying to figure out is there, right? Obviously, there's demand for esports in Colorado. Now, is the supply, what's the supply problem? Is it events, or is it, like, I'm just having a hard time figuring out why there's not a growth as in programs and events and, you know, at least on a school level.
I think it's because of the backing from the state itself. Actually, maybe not the state. I think it's just the school itself. Because some schools just don't want to have it.
It's just the stigma that they don't want it.
Because I for like colleges, I don't think it's beneficial for them because they're not making that money. Like, let's see, what's a small sport?
Like but soccer. To have an extracurricular program, would that be a selling point to go to that school for college?
Yeah, especially if you're doing something within like computer science, graphic design, video game design, any of that stuff. So if you get a scholarship for that and play esports, that's a big hit, because you could get a job quickly from any organizations that's out there. So that could be a pipeline for working for an organization.
Yeah, because I was wondering, you know, why are schools not focusing, you know, at least putting some effort into bringing some sort of scholarship fund there, so that way it could be a selling point for their schools, like a MIT or something.
Yeah.
I guess the next question I had was, I just lost it. But anyway, the state that it's in now. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the future of it going? I mean, is there any sort of like near future that you can see, you know, whether it's your program or schools or CHASA or the support or anything in the long-term future? Where do you kind of see the esports?
All the above. I want it to just to grow no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I think that probably there's, I want to say 30% of high schools that have it in Colorado. I want to see that jump up to 60 or 90% within the next year to 2 years. Mm-hmm. More like local newspapers, anybody that has a big outing, social media, if they could cover it, mm-hmm. and put more light onto it, then I think it could grow rapidly. Like, it's like, just like a song, you know, if you have a good hit song, that's just going to go up because people like it. They could use it in movies. They could use it as a TikTok video or a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. You know, it could just go viral. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want for esports. For my program, I want to get more students, not just male, but female, or all genders, mm-hmm. all types of life coming in. Because I think still, like, the girls or the non-binary people, they are still scared to join because of who they are. And with esports, and myself and my coach, like, we don't care who you are. If you're good at gaming, or if you want to play and get better, just join. Nobody's going to tell you.
Because when we were at Metro, we were doing a pop-up event there, and we were doing some promoting marketing for locals. There was a lot of girl gamers, mm-hmm. that came up and talked to us, and a lot more than I thought. Yeah. And I think there's even more of a stigma for girls to get into gaming than even guys.
Yeah.
And especially in high school, right? Like you said, if you already know going to high school, there's that stigma for guys. Imagine for the girls. It's even that much harder for them to join.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's one of the only – I was actually talking this earlier. It's only one sport where it's not as much as your physical attributes, right? Like if you're going football, maybe it's a lot harder to see a girl playing. Whereas in esports, it might be a little bit easier for them to get in or something. I don't know. Yeah. Just spitballing.
Yeah, because how many females play like the traditional sports, like football? Mm-hmm. It's probably like one in every 2 or 3 years. And they're mostly a kicker. Mm-hmm. You don't see anybody else doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if you could change that stigma, then hopefully all walks of life could just come and, you know, try out.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that's something that is one of the main obstacles in high school is the stigma around it on both ends, from the students and from the older management and staff.
Yeah, and plus your parents. If your parents are not like you and I, then they're not going to know about it, and they're gonna be like, they're just going to talk down to you.
That's true. You won't have much support.
Yeah, because they might have played video games for a little bit, then they got out, and they're like,
what
games sound like?
So you as an esports coach in high school, I'm sure maybe you have some hot takes on anything. Is there any hot takes or any kind of controversial topics that you have viewpoints on that you'd like to share?
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to.
You can go for it.
I think it's just the older generation because a lot of the older generations are in CHASA or as a principal, athletic directors, or the higher ups, that is keeping us from actually doing keeping us back from doing what we want to do. Like, we don't have a space where, so it's the library, but it's upstairs balcony that has like a computer lab. That's our space right now. It's fine, but when the kids get loud, it just echoes right over the balcony into the library. So if we could have a space and they allow us to, then I think
it would legitimize you a little bit more, you know?
Yes. Because we have jerseys, we have stickers, we have pins, shirts.
Like, and is that, that's all funded by you guys, right? Not by the school?
Yeah. So North has a, I don't know if it's a class, but they have somebody inside that could print their own shirts. And we use that. So we pay them to do our shirts. But everything else, it's like either we get it from Amazon, off the internet somewhere. I found like our logo. Got it off Fiverr, and I only pay like $135 for like letterheads, two different designs. Although I told him how to, like, to make it, and we had to remake it because the controller was backwards.
Wow. So, I guess, do you have, I mean, unless there's anything else, Chad, was there any other kind of, helpful tips or helpful, maybe, you know, words of wisdom that you would have for whether it's students or, you know, other maybe people in faculty that want to look into maybe to building up their department or getting involved?
So if you're a staff member of any school, you could contact me. You can find me on Twitter or, yeah, Twitter, Casual Do Games. I think that's what it is. I could give you a link to our Discord. So Colorado has their own esports Discord for any of the coaches. Even if you are thinking about it, you could just jump in and, you know, just talk. I think there's
I was like, can you drop in the chat for everyone?
Yeah,
if you can. If not, maybe they can reach out to you and get that Discord.
Yeah, so it's Colorado Esports Coaches Chat. That's what it is on a Discord. But I think you have to get a link to it.
An invite.
Yeah.
Do you guys at your program, so you have players, do you do any other, I guess, like, practice almost? So, like, at South Suburban, right, they have a program for people who want to be shoutcasters, or they have other aspects of the esports industry, right? So you have production, you have game, competition. Yeah. There's different aspects to it. So do you have any other opportunities for kids there that maybe don't want to game, but they want to do production side or the streaming or the shoutcasting?
So when they find out that we have a program of esports, and when we give them the permission slip, we ask them, like, are you trying to just play and enjoy, or are you trying to compete, join a team? Do you want to do like streaming or shoutcasting? Some of them would just say, I just want to play, or I want to join a team. But we also put that into their mind that, yeah, we could stream. We haven't done it yet, but we want to. And maybe for the next district esports tournament, we should have somebody come and stream it for us, because I think that would be fun. But yeah, because I could talk to them about like how to stream, because I'm kind of a streamer and been watching a lot of streams and a lot of YouTubes on how to stream. So we could teach them stuff like that. It's just not always about playing video games. We just try to, you know, if they're having a bad day, just talk to them, you know, what's going on. Can we help you with anything?
Yeah, because I think that's another great opportunity for schools to look at, like, not just in competing, but there's you know, tons of different categories within esports on the production side, from streaming to managing, you know, the overlays, everything, to shoutcasting. And I think shoutcasting has really, really gained some traction, where there's a lot of people looking for work or looking to learn and find the basics on even how to start it.
So I have one player that's going to CEC Community College, just like 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away walking. And he's doing graphic video game design. And that's, he said he wants to do that and follow that. And he also plays Mario Kart and Smash. I was like, if you're going to do that, you know, you just got to keep on that and don't let your dreams fall out. You know, let your, how was that saying? Don't let your dreams be dreams. I said that to everybody. Don't let your dreams be dreams. Because as soon as you let your dreams go, you're doing something else. Not what you want, not what you love to do. I have another student that could be a streamer because he's hilarious. He could work the room just like that. I have maybe one or two other players that could be a shoutcaster. And I've been trying to talk to them, like, hey, you should try this. They're like, yeah, I know, but my voice, or I don't know certain moves or how to do it correctly. I'm just like, just try it.
Yeah. And there is a Discord for people who are wanting to get into shoutcasting. Mm-hmm. I'll drop the link.
Okay.
But I don't have the time ahead, but it's a really good resource because there's people, it's like people who are looking for shoutcasters,
yeah.
people who are looking for work as shoutcasters, and then in between of people training, people starting out, people want experience. Okay. So it's a really good place, and it's local to Colorado, and I'm assuming other states have them, but so local to Colorado, so it's a really good one.
Yeah, I think just Colorado's behind a lot of other states, like California, mm-hmm. New York, Florida, Texas, especially Texas. Mm-hmm. Texas has a big hub of just esports itself. It's so crazy. Like almost every team that's out there is in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they play from there. They just do everything from there.
Yeah, I agree. So switching gears, I think we've gotten a lot of good information. Mm-hmm. Unless there's anything else you wanted to add that you didn't touch on.
No, not.
I think, I think we got through a lot of really good information on the high school side. And how it is running a program, kind of your inputs and your experience from there. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Switching gears a little bit, just, you know, kind of as we start to wrap up, what, you know, with you being a gamer, what is kind of your favorite games you've played growing up, or at least up, you know, at any time of all time? What's your top three games? Yeah.
I don't know about my top three games, but my top three genres, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Racing, fighting, and shooting games.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good list. I grew up with racing, shooting, and fighting. Actually, the same. I think so the older gen, you know, grew up with.
Yeah, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Was it Marvel versus Capcom? That's one of my top threes right there.
Yeah. Well, we should. You know, we'll definitely have you back on in the future because we'd love to follow up, out how it's going.
I would love to come back.
We'll find out, you know, find how your program's going, like, you know, throughout the year, see if there's any updates, what events you guys have going on, any kind of things you want to help promote or boost. But I don't know, any other questions you had before we start wrapping up or anything you want to say?
No, but thank you for having me on. And I am trying to get a podcast just kind of similar to yours.
Okay.
So when I have that, I want to have you on there. Is that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I started totally, 180 from here. I just was doing events and esports, you know, tournaments, and then I shifted gears with personal life stuff. Okay. So, but yeah, I'm just trying to build a resource for everyone. So, and anyone can reach out to you, right? So I'm assuming you are Casho Do Games on Twitter and all your socials. They can reach out to you if they have any questions, if they need help starting their own programs, any insights, anything else they wanted to ask you that I didn't get to ask you, feel free to reach out to them.
Yeah. Or if you want to shoot me an email, it's cashodogames@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have any questions or if you wanted to get networked and start your own program at your school, I think that'd be great.
So do you do a lot of shoutcasting as well?
No, I got thrown into one at one of my tournaments. One of my shoutcasters showed up with one and his partner couldn't come. So I kind of stepped in and man, that's a whole different animal. I don't know if I could do that because you got to entertain, you got to entertain, you got to know the game, you got to be exciting. You have to be so multifaceted that I think it'd be tough. Okay. And I'm sure with practice and if you have a good co-host, you could, you know, bounce off each other, make it go, but it's a challenge.
Yeah, you need that good connection between the co-hosts.
Yeah, and for anyone that can do it, man, props to them, because I had Juggle God on here and he's amazing. Oh, yeah, he's probably one of the best, man. If you've seen him in action, he's awesome. Okay. But yeah, so thank you so much for hopping on, Anthony. I really appreciate you taking the time and giving us some of your insights. And yes, we'll love to have you back on. I'll be on your show for sure. Anyone can reach out to you at Casho Do Games. Until next time, everyone. We will see you back here on Behind the Game with 5280 Esports. I'm Lamar. Thank you guys so much for listening. And you can stay on.